Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, September 16th. No more rain, but we're here back with you because we are reliable and trustworthy. Good morning, Jen.
Morning, Sam.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. And we have a very special guest in the studio. It's going to be very interesting today. So thank you all for joining us. You can enjoy yourself. Let's talk for a few minutes about the debate, the upcoming debate tonight. The important news, I guess, is Donald Trump says, I think I could tone it down a little. So,
well, that's nice of him.
Maybe we'll be able to actually hear the message today through all that theatrics.
Well, they said that they're actually going to get the opportunity to debate each other tonight versus the moderator. So that will be nice.
Oh, okay. So it's a little different today.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That'll be cool.
Yeah, because also then they're going to be talking about issues together versus just specifically calling out one particular candidate versus another on things that they've said.
Right.
So everyone's going to be on the same playing field.
Right. It's just that I don't know how you're going to have 10 people talking at the same time, but hopefully they'll
be able to. Well, that's the point of the moderator.
Yeah. We'll see how successful they'll be at that. That's going to be, they didn't warn us about traffic problems here with all the candidates coming into town. Because I know usually when the president's here, they close down streets and everything. So I'm surprised.
I'm surprised as well.
Yeah. But
I'll be home watching.
Yeah. And for those of you who are curious, it starts at 3 actually today.
Well, that's the first debate.
Oh, that's the first one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The second round is at 5 p.m.
Okay.
Pacific time.
Yeah, because it goes 3 to 4, 4:45 or 4:15 or something. And then, yeah, okay, so it's 5 o'clock. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So it gives me a little more time. I was going to DVR it anyway, but...
I find the article on CNN most interesting, the one where it says what celebrities would ask the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, did you read that
article? No, no.
Oh, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I can tell you then some of the things that some of them want to know.
Okay.
I mean, each one, you know, has their own, like, belief system. So, like, Jane Fonda, for instance, is an activist. So she said, you know, almost 100 years after women secured the right to vote in 1920 through the 19th Amendment, we still do not have equal rights under the Constitution. My question for the GOP candidates, do you support the Equal Rights Amendment? And then it goes on. Then Stephen King has, if it's okay to register cars and licensed drivers, why is it not okay to impose similar legal responsibilities on gun owners?
Mm.
And further, you know, it continues.
Some tough questions.
Right. Like Russell Simmons asks, you know, about the black community, and Susan Sarandon asks about chemicals being sprayed on our food and so on and so forth. I just find it very fascinating. This is such a heated year.
Right. It really is, and that's why a lot of people look forward to it. You know, I want to see. Obviously, this is going to make it a little clearer. I think that's going to change the polls a little bit now, where we're going to get people. You know, after we saw the first debate, and then we heard them talk about themselves, about the other candidates and stuff. I'd be curious to see how after tonight's debate, things are going to pan out.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm very interested to hear their responses to these things. I mean, I would like them to answer these particular questions in addition to the one that the moderator will bring up. But
right,
we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. And to see how they handle themselves under fire and stuff, which Trump didn't do very well the first time. And we'll see. You know, I mean, it's very interesting. And in related news, you probably heard that Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to replace him now in The Apprentice.
I think that is just so silly.
You think so? Yeah,
I think that
people don't think it's a great idea.
No, I think that is so ridiculous. It's almost like making a joke out of it. Like, they might as well just kill the show.
You think?
Yeah, because it's one thing when Trump does it. That's Trump's thing to say, like, you're fired. But right. Now it's going to be that silly accent of that silly man. And, like, what? Just because he was a politician and now Trump wants to be a politician, they're replacing him with the most ridiculous, like...
Well, but Arnold has had quite a bit of experience in business and stuff. They claim that he, as governor, he managed over 300,000 people. So, you know, I mean, I think he knows what it's like to run a business, to manage a business. He's always been involved in businesses and stuff. You know, about the accent, I don't know. I mean, Arnold has been accepted already in spite of his accent, you know?
I can't take him seriously, especially that there was a recent Terminator that came out. Like, all I can think of is the Governator. Like,
yeah.
Or, like, his silly, like, I'll be back. Like, oh, you're fired. Like, I just can't.
Yeah.
I cannot with him. And not that I watched that show to begin with, but now I think it's less credible.
Right. No, definitely. I mean, the whole show was about Trump, you know? So to try and make it different, I don't know. You know, they could try. Just like...
I think they could have taken, like, a Shark Tank person and moved them over.
That's true.
Like, Mark Cuban would have been great because he's also got, a very big personality and he's really, stern and he's strong-willed. So I think that would have been a good solution.
That's good. That's a good idea.
There's also several panelists that have been on Shark Tank that aren't always on it. So, you know, there's, the four people? Four or five? Well, so some of them have come and gone, but, maybe use one of those people, bring them back.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anybody but Arnold, really.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are probably good with business and stuff, you know, so... But that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's Trump. I think it was his show. And if they want to do something similar, just start a different show or something, you know. I mean, I remember when Two and a Half Men, when Charlie Sheen left, they were going to continue it and stuff. I mean, I personally continued to watch it because I thought it was funny. I liked the other characters as well. But the show was never the same, obviously. You know,
right.
It was his show.
Yeah.
So... You know, it's hard to do that. The same with bands. You know, when you have a band and the leading singer is the star, when they leave, the band doesn't sound the same anymore.
Right.
You know.
Also, I mean, if you're going to switch, you know, the person in the main spot, maybe pick somebody from a different demographic. Because then you attract a whole new audience of people. So it could have been like, I don't know, Dr. Dre, because he's got Beats by Dre, or like Jay-Z. I mean, not that they would really go that far, or that either of those people would even take that role, but... Somebody completely different.
Yeah.
Not this random man. I'm going to call him that just because he's Arnold.
But they must have given it some thought, you know?
I mean,
Mark Burnett is not stupid, the producer, right? So maybe they know what they're doing. Maybe they know something we don't.
Maybe.
But Arnold does have star power regardless, you know? And I think maybe it will get him a different audience with Arnold.
Will it?
Yeah, well, the people that don't like him. The people that don't care that Trump is gone. You know, they maybe liked
the basic audience of the show.
Well, I don't know, but what if people that... what if people that like Arnold that never watched the show will start watching
it? Who are those people?
I don't know.
The people that go see Terminator, I don't think they're also watching The Apprentice.
Why?
I mean, they might be, but then it's also like they just did the reboot, so it's like... Probably even a younger demographic. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd watch The Terminator, although I didn't. But
I'm curious to see how this new reboot of The Apprentice does.
Right. That'd be interesting. What I did notice, though, is that in the beginning, they never had celebrities. And now it's only celebrities, right?
Yeah. That's how Bill Rancic got found.
Yeah.
It's because he won The Apprentice.
Right.
And then he became a celebrity. But before that, it was just people.
Right. And then you had Amorosa, who... became a star for 2 minutes.
Right.
And, but the rest of them, you're right. I mean, they
I think the interesting point of the celebrities is to see them do something that's not, you know, what they're known for, but also that it goes to charity.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. And they have star power, too. I mean, they attract more people that way.
Right.
Yeah.
It's also like Dancing with the Stars. Like, not everybody wants to dance. Some people want to do businesses. So that's their version.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. Okay, so that's the debate. So the main one starts at 5, you say, which is Pacific time. So makes sense. Like I said, it was going to be on prime time on the East Coast. And, I mean, sometimes, you know, we have all those live broadcasts of awards and we don't get to see them live because it starts so early and they want us to watch it during prime time.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's weird.
I'm going to a friend's house to watch.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I know.
To watch it with people.
Yep.
You guys can debate what's going on and stuff.
Well, I'm sure we will. Are there commercials during the debate?
Maybe there are. I think there are.
Interesting.
I don't know. What do I know? Anyway, so that's a debate. That's the main news today. And we're going to bring in our guest now, who's sitting here patiently and seems very interesting and a nice person. We have Rocky Rosen in the studio. Welcome to the show, Rocky.
Hey, thank you, Sam.
Thank you for coming. And so you wrote to me last week to introduce yourself and everything, and I found that fascinating. You are a stop smoking coach.
I'm a personal stop smoking trainer. Okay. I get people off tobacco.
Wow. So you must have been a smoker at one time, right?
Over 20 years, about two packs a day.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot, you know. I mean, all my life I've smoked, but I never went over a pack a day. And I wonder, how can people go into two packs? That's a lot of smoking.
How many do you smoke, Sam?
A pack.
A day?
Yeah. That's a lot, right? You see, to Jen, it's a lot.
Holy cow.
For me, two packs is a lot.
Well, that was back in the day where yeah. you could smoke anywhere, everywhere.
That's true.
You had to sit on the left side of the movie theater, but you could still smoke in the movies.
I know. It's like the wow. smoke's going to stop, right? Right in the non-smoking section.
Right.
The same with airplanes. They used to smoke in airplanes.
Sit in the rear of the plane.
Yeah. I mean, and that would boggle my mind because, and I was a kid at the time, and I remember every time after we'd fly, I'd come out and I have all this, you know, stuff in my throat and that, and the breathing was hard, and I think, why are people smoking in the airplane, you know?
Well, now you know why.
Yeah.
Well, why they did it, because they could.
Right, exactly. There was no, like, no awareness, I guess, of it, right?
You used to smoke, you, if it was back then, you'd be smoking in the studio right now.
Right, exactly. And my question is, what did the non-smoking people do at the time? That must have been tough.
Be there.
Be there, suffer through it. It was the way the world was. It
Fight
was
for just the change.
The way, right.
But I grew up in a household where everybody smoked but my father. And, you know, you sit and suffer.
Yeah, that's true, huh? Yeah. That's the thing. It's really not fair to non-smokers. And that's why, I mean, you know, I'm a smoker, but I try not to smoke around people at all. You know, so I will walk away from people when I smoke. I never smoke inside the house or in my car. Things like that, you know, because I hate the smell. I hate the smoke. But when you smoke, you don't smell it.
Ah, but right? intellect and craving means nothing to that urge. You may hate it all you want, but when that urge happens, right. nothing's going to stop you.
Right. So, now, so you know what? Let's talk a lot about that, obviously, but let's talk a little bit about yourself.
Okay.
Are you originally from California?
I'm born and bred.
Really? In L.A.?
Yeah. Highland and Beverly.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's unusual.
You know? Well, I back in 2000, I moved to Wisconsin for 8 years, but winter won, and I'm back.
Really? What did you do in Wisconsin? Why would you want to move there? Did you meet someone?
For the love of my life.
Yeah. That's usually the case, right?
Who had two children. They moved out to Los Angeles with me. And, you know, they all moved out. The kids hated L.A. So after being here for my whole life, I moved to Wisconsin for about 7 years.
Wow.
Let my stepkids grow up, and then we moved back.
I see.
Yeah.
So you can't really leave California, right? I mean, once you're here.
I could leave in a heartbeat.
Really?
Yeah.
But not to go somewhere very cold.
Yeah, not cold anymore. But, no, this is home. This is my home, and this is where I'm from.
Yeah. Do you like to travel?
I'm a homebody. We've got four dogs. My wife loves to travel. I'd rather be home.
Really?
Yeah. Cool. I do not, I've never had wanderlust.
So how do you guys, like, do you find that you have to accommodate her and she accommodates you as far as not doing it too much but still traveling?
It sounds like marriage to me.
Yeah. How long have you been married now?
16 years.
Really? Yeah. Wow, congratulations.
Yeah. I have a 14-year-old daughter.
Wow, congratulations.
And love of my life.
Awesome. Well, it's nice to see.
Very nice.
That people are in love.
Yeah, well, you know, it's marriage, it's tribulations, it's trials.
Right.
So did you stop smoking because of her?
No. God, no. I stopped smoking back in 87. Met her in 98.
I see. Yeah. So now, early on in your childhood, at what point did you pick up cigarettes?
13.
13.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the age, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least in previous generations. I was about the same thing.
Well, it's even more so in this generation because of the e-cigarettes.
And
what's going on with the e-cigs, too.
So people think they're okay and they start early.
Yeah.
And they are. It's still tobacco. It's just not like
nicotine.
It's nicotine.
Which is a derivative of tobacco. And nobody, and I'm going to blow your mind in a second, nobody in this country, if I say nicotine to you, do you know what it is?
It's a drug, right?
What is it?
What is it made of?
Isn't it like tar?
I don't know. Chemicals?
I'll tell you what.
Okay.
The tobacco industry is very clever because they hide the truth about nicotine in dictionaries. Mm-hmm. Sam's going to read the dictionary definition of what nicotine is.
Okay. So, a colorless, oily, water-soluble, highly toxic liquid alkaloid, C10H14N2, found in tobacco and valued as an insecticide.
Gross.
That's what nicotine is. You know, I always say that when I'm working with my clients, the tobacco industry is very clever because they hide the truth about nicotine in dictionaries.
Mm.
Every time you take a drag off a cigarette or off of an e-cig, you might as well be just taking a hit off of Raid. Hot
really?
Raid. Hot Raid.
Gross.
Yeah, yeah. And if it's going to kill a cockroach eventually, what's it going to do to us?
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I do want to go back to the background, though, of mm-hmm. how you got to that point and so forth. So you started smoking at 13.
I started smoking at 13. I'm going to
Why did you start smoking? Was it peer pressure at the time?
No, I wanted to be hip. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be mature. I wanted to be sophisticated and debonair at 13.
Right. Were you friends like that, too?
Yeah. Not all of them. I can remember first cigarette I ever smoked, I smoked with my friend John Marmelzat. We went behind our – both our mothers smoked. We went behind a garage. We smoked a cigarette. John got sick and I got sick. John said, "That's it. No more for me." And I went, "I don't care if I'm getting sick. This looks cool. I'm gonna muscle through."
Whoa.
And the next thing you know, I went from being a non-smoker to a social smoker. And eventually I become an addicted smoker.
Right. And how long did that process take, do you think, until you became addicted to it?
I would say, I would say it didn't take that long before I became a daily smoker.
Mm.
And I'd always steal my mother's cigarettes. Now, the funny thing about my mom was my mom was a Benson and Hedges smoker my entire life until the mid-60s when they came out with Eve cigarettes. And Eve cigarettes were like this 100-millimeter cigarette,
right.
Really which had a
thin.
Floral pattern. No, they weren't thin then, but they had a floral pattern around the
filter
to make it look more feminine.
Right.
And
you can smoke those.
Oh, I had to. Those are the ones I was smoking. I got really good with covering that filter with my finger. And she went to Eve's because her name was Eve, and her joke was, you know, I smoke so much they named a brand after me.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And, you know, during that time, that's what I'm saying. I mean, until there became this awareness of health and well-being and stuff like that, which is rather pretty recent, smoking was, nobody was even questioning yet. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, people would be in movie theaters and airplanes smoking, nobody would even question it. I remember when I watched The Exorcist, like, you know, maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, after not having seen it for so many years, there's a scene where the doctor comes out of the surgery room in the hospital with a cigarette.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And that was okay.
Yeah, they would smoke in the surgical theater back then, too.
Whoa.
It's just, it is amazing. But you know what? Secondhand smoke, which is not good for people, is nowhere near as bad as people say it is either.
Right.
I firmly believe that, because if secondhand smoke was as bad as it was with the carbon monoxide and everything that comes from it, we'd all be dead and sick from car exhaust fumes.
Yeah.
It is unpleasant. I'm not anti-smoking. I really don't care if somebody smokes or not. I really only come into the picture if somebody wishes they could stop.
Right.
But I hate the way smokers are treated in America today,
right,
and around the world.
It's true, but I mean, I think there's somewhere like in the middle where it's accepted that smokers, you know, stand away from people that don't smoke, that they don't impose on them, you know. So, I mean, it's like when I go back to Israel right now, they started banning smoking in cafes and restaurants and everything, too. Mm-hmm. But you'll still see people sitting outside, just like Starbucks. Still, a few years ago, you could sit outside Starbucks and smoke. And sometimes I would wonder, I'd say, God, it stinks here. And how can people walk into Starbucks who are not smokers, you know? So that's really imposing. And to me, I felt uncomfortable. And so when I go to Israel and people say, oh, you can smoke here, I'm like, I don't feel comfortable. I feel like I'm imposing on these people with the smoke. I'm not even enjoying the cigarette, you know. So I might as well just stand away from people.
Sam, you don't enjoy any cigarettes. It just feels like enjoyment, but
really?
It's not real enjoyment.
Right.
Do you want to know why you smoke?
Yeah, I do.
You smoke to make the urge to smoke go away.
That's true.
That's the only reason why
people
smoke.
Isn't that an addiction?
That's what we call an addiction.
Right.
And like any other addiction, the substance doesn't give you pleasure. It just gives you relief for a moment.
Right.
That's all. That's all you're looking for is a moment of relief. That's the only reason why people smoke.
Mm. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I think it's time to start thinking about it.
I'm not going to deny the fact that it feels like pleasure, but it's not real pleasure. Let me talk to you about things that give you real pleasure.
Right.
Doing this show, how does that feel?
Right.
When somebody says, I listened to you, it was great, how does that make you feel?
Mm-hmm. That makes me feel good.
When your family goes, I love you, how does that make you feel?
Right.
An evening with good friends, some good food, some good wine, some good sex.
Right.
This stuff gives us pleasure.
Right.
There is no more pleasure for a nicotine addict in smoking a cigarette than there is for a headache sufferer taking an aspirin.
Mm. Yeah. So it's sort of like a...
it's Pavlovian. Pavlovian. That little bell rings in your head, I feel like having a cigarette, and we just respond to it.
Right. And, I mean, a lot of it is psychological, though, right? I mean, obviously, it's because people will say, oh, it's hard to quit. People sue tobacco companies because it's addictive. But I think a lot of it is psychological, you know? You're used to taking those breaks with a cigarette.
100%, 99.999% is psychological. Mm. This addiction, you know, if first of all, when I sit down with somebody, I'm addicted to nicotine, and I try to find out from the person I'm working with if they feel like they're addicted to it. Mm. If they feel like they're addicted to it, I've got something to work with. I forgot where I was just going to go with that. Psychological, mental, physical.
Right.
Physically, somebody's been smoking 20, 30, 40 years, 2-3 packs a day. At any point they stop smoking, within 24 hours, the vast, vast, vast majority of nicotine's out of the body. What never leaves are the urges to smoke.
And what the habits, too, like you picked up, like you were saying, the breaks?
Yeah, and the truth is my clients still carry cigarettes with them after they stop smoking, and they still take their breaks.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Without smoking?
Yeah. Have you ever run out of cigarettes?
Rarely.
Have you ever run out of cigarettes?
I know what you mean. Yeah.
When you have no cigarettes, what do you think about?
Right, the cigarettes. It's an addiction.
And when you have cigarettes, what do you think about? Everything else and the cigarette whenever the thought occurs.
Right. No, that's true. I mean, you get on a plane, you're like, when will I have my next cigarette? It's like you're chained.
Yeah, well, let's really call it what it is. When we're hooked on a substance, we're a slave.
Enslaved.
And this is not 50 Shades of Grey. This is not 9.5 weeks. This is not some fun bedroom fantasy. This is the real deal of slavery. I always say cigarettes are shaped perfectly, by the way. They're just little pricks that want to hurt you. You may love them. They don't even know you exist.
Right.
But it is slavery. And my job is play Moses and take you out of slavery. Mm. I've got all these different nicknames from clients. The one that I'm really running with is the Cigarette Whisperer. Mm-hmm. I can have anybody smoke free in 3 days.
Really?
Yeah. No tricks, no gimmicks, no drugs, not hypnosis.
Right. And that's based on just your experience from so many years.
Well, it's really from a fellow by the name of, who's long dead, Albert Ellis, who wrote a book called Rational Emotive Therapy, taking something that you think is a negative in your life and really turning it into a positive. Mm-hmm. You know, when a person calls me, I'm the last phone call anybody wants to make. And how I know that is how many times I made that phone call when I was smoking. I always say somebody would rather go to a sadistic dentist than come see me. when we're smoking, my mind, you know, I've got so much information in my head that I just get lost.
That's okay. That's fine. We'll just take you in different directions.
Okay. You take the direction.
Yeah, this will pop back.
When you quit smoking, did you just study everything you possibly could and then you became what you are today? Or how did that path go?
Well, prior to the last time I smoked a cigarette, I had been through, I got hypnotized 3 times. Okay, so I started when I was 13. And by the time I was in my early 20s, I was born with bronchitis and asthma. You'll even hear some, a little bit there. But back when I was smoking, I sounded like Lucille Ball. I sounded like Edith Head.
Yeah.
I had the worst cough of anybody you'd ever meet. I remember I went to see one of the Star Wars movies, the original Star Wars movies.
And you coughed through the whole...
And I got a phone call the next day from a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And he said, hey, Rocky, did you see Star Wars last night? And I said, yeah. And he goes, I knew that was you. I could hear you coughing.
In the theater.
So... I had tried hypnosis, acupuncture, Schick, smoke enders, physician's clinic. I used to chew the nicotine gum and smoke at the same time. Back when you were only get nicotine gum and nicotine replacements. There was only nicotine gum back then. You had to get a prescription for it. I had tried everything. And when I discovered the teachings of Albert Ellis, when a person calls me, they're calling me for 2 reasons. One is they think, they're calling me because they don't want to smoke anymore and they feel like they have to stop. So I'm sitting with a smoker right now, Sam. And if you had a preference, would you be smoking today or would you be smoke-free?
Right. You're right. I would be smoke-free. Okay. Yeah.
So so let me ask you a question. Do you ever tell yourself, I don't want to smoke anymore? No. I don't want to do this anymore?
I do say that, but I don't give it too much.
How long have you been hearing in your head on some level or another that you don't want to smoke anymore? How long has that thought gone in your head, I don't want to do this?
Well, not very long, though. But I have to admit, I'm feeling it affecting my breathing now.
Okay.
You know, and I mean, it's been many years, but I'm feeling now it's almost going to be irreversible if I don't stop.
Don't worry about it. You know, the human body is incredibly kind and forgiving.
Yeah.
If we give it time, if we haven't done irreparable damage, the body will forgive you. Mm. So a person calls me telling me they don't want to smoke anymore, and that's a lie. The truth about a person like you and me, Jen, did you ever smoke or do you smoke? Okay. Jen, do you ever feel like...
I've smoked a cigarette.
Huh?
I've smoked like probably 5 cigarettes in my life.
How often do you go, I feel like having a cigarette?
Very never.
Okay. Never.
The truth about a person like you and me and not like Jen, Jen is what we call a non-smoker.
Right.
Because you are a non-smoker.
Right.
Isn't that we don't want to smoke. The truth is, at times we do want to smoke, we just don't want to suffer the consequences. Mm. All the stop smoking methodologies out there are designed to help people make the urge to smoke go away. That's a fool's folly. The truth is, I teach people how to use the urge to smoke as the way to stop smoking instead of always trying to fight it and resist it.
Wow.
The more you try to ignore it, the bigger it gets.
Yeah.
So it's not about repressing the urges. It's actually about using the urges. Number two, they'll call me saying, I've got to quit smoking. Mm. Now, have you ever heard this? I got to get off these things?
Yeah.
How long have you been hearing that in your head on some level or another? I really ought to quit smoking.
No, yeah, for many years.
And what do you still do?
I still smoke.
So guess what? Here's the truth.
Right.
You may hate yourself. Your health may suffer. It may affect relationships. And you may freaking die from these things. Mm-hmm. But you can smoke anytime you want to.
Right. So that's a certain freedom that you feel.
Exactly right. My goal is not to help. The three words in the English language I hate the most are, I quit smoking. The four words I hate the most are, I must quit smoking. Getting smoke-free is not about quitting. It's about freedom. When I tell myself I've quit smoking, what my mind hears is I never get to smoke ever again. And now I'm screwed because I'm trapped for the rest of my life.
That's true.
This is about opening up that door of saying, you know what, letting go. And please understand something about smoking. It isn't just, you know, people think, you know, just why don't you just quit smoking is about as simple as if you have a person that is a bad relationship, why don't you just get a divorce?
Right.
Sam, I'm willing to bet you right now, are you in a relationship?
No, not right now.
The longest and the most intimate relationship you've ever been in is the relationship you share with your cigarettes.
Mm.
This is not just a walk away, be done. This is a divorce. This is getting free from something that isn't working for you any longer.
And it's been sort of like, quote unquote, a friend for you, you know, because it's always been there for you. And,
like
you know,
I said, the longest and most intimate relationship ever.
That's true.
And we see it as a friend, but this friend is out to destroy us.
Right, right.
See, cigarettes only want a couple of things from you. Mm-hmm. First thing they want, most important, is your money.
Right.
Next thing they want from you is your good health and your health.
Mm.
And the next thing they're going to take from you is your life.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, that's the only thing they ask of you is...
Yeah, give us your money and your life.
Yeah. Well, as I always call it, when we're smoking, we're held hostage. And you pay a daily ransom, but you never get set free.
Right.
So...
You know, and it also, it looks silly, you know, when you stand outside the building and everybody knows that, hey, he needs his fix, you know, and you look like a drug addict, you know, and I don't like that, you know.
Because you are a drug addict.
Right.
And the drug is nicotine.
Right.
And what nicotine is, it's an insecticide.
Yeah. And what I did want to ask you, so even when you quit smoking for many years, you're still a smoker, right? Just like with an alcoholic, would you say?
No.
You always have the urge. You always have that allergy to
those of us who have been addicted to nicotine and get free, we will never be non-smokers. I always laugh when I watch the Chantix commercials for several reasons, but... You know, become a non-smoker.
Right.
We'll never be her.
Right.
We will never be non-smokers. The furthest away we get from this is we can become an ex-smoker.
Right.
As an ex-smoker, we get to enjoy all the benefits in life that non-smokers enjoy. feel better, look better, smell better, taste better. Do you have to, every time you take a break, do you have to go to the restroom and wash off the smell of not smoking?
No. I also don't need that many breaks.
I hear that. Less fear, less worry. But right. You see, we ex-smokers will get a benefit that a non-smoker will never experience. Sam, if you could stop smoking relatively comfortably,
right,
never smoke again for the rest of your life, and be free from these things, how big an accomplishment would that be for you?
No, that's absolutely a big accomplishment.
Be a huge accomplishment.
A huge accomplishment.
And let me tell you how simple it is to quit smoking. Are you ready?
Yes.
See, stopping smoking is simple. It's just not easy. You want to know the billion-dollar secret to getting smoke-free?
Not to smoke.
Don't light the next one.
Yeah.
easy
yeah,
to
just
say.
Just do it. Instead of saying, I can't, just do it.
Well, just there's more to it. But yeah, but the whole trick to quitting smoking is whenever you're ready, don't light the next one.
Right.
That's it. It's simple. It's not easy. My job is to make that really doable for a person without all the discomfort that runs usually with it.
Right.
You know, and the fact, you know how they talk, you see heroin addicts and alcoholics, heavy duty drug addicts who've recovered, talk about how stopping smoking is harder than stopping doing the drugs and alcohol.
Right.
Do you want to know why that is?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Drugs and alcohol take a person to a place where they can lose their jobs, their reputation, their standing, their family, that cigarettes don't take people to.
That's true. Yeah.
You see, in the parlance of speaking addictions, there's a threefold addiction to drugs and alcohol, which is it's a mental obsession, it's a physical allergy of a physical craving, and it's a spiritual malady. You know, where a person loses their spirit behind drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen to smokers until it's too late. You know, where they feel like their spirit, it's been spiritually maligned because, you know, God, you got to help me now. Right. You know, but that's why people think it's harder to stop doing drugs and stopping smoking than doing drugs and alcohol, because they're not losing their jobs. They're not losing their families. Usually they're not losing their standing.
Right. And that's, you know, that's that reminds me of people that have like eating disorders also, where it's not like, it's sort of like part of your life, you know. You don't look, it's not like something that really sets you back or anything. You still, you know, like drugs, alcohol and stuff, you're not functioning. You're getting in trouble with your family, with your friends, things like that. Whereas, you know, overeating or smoking, it's just like something that you do, you know.
And we have nicotine addicts running the country right now. You've got a president who's a nicotine addict. Mm. You've got a speaker of the house who's a nicotine addict.
Right.
If these guys were hardcore drug addicts and alcoholics, he never would have risen to that.
Right, yeah. Exactly. You're right. That makes a lot of sense, you know. So it's sort of like we don't feel it's a problem.
Let's talk about how smoking is not a problem. The Center of Disease Control has a very simple statement about tobacco. They say tobacco is the single largest cause of premature death and preventable disease, bar none. Mm. There's a sign on Santa Monica Boulevard. Anybody familiar with that sign on Santa Monica Boulevard?
No.
Which one?
It's an electronic billboard, and if you lived on the west side, you would know it. It counts down how many people die each year from smoking. Mm. And in January 1, it always goes back to zero. And by December 31st, it's 480,000.
Wow.
More people die each year from cigarettes prematurely than die in fires, suicides, homicides, auto accidents, plane crashes, train wrecks,
wow,
all other drug and alcohol abuse, every American who died in World War II, and HIV combined.
Wow.
Take all those modalities of a premature death, it will not hit that 480,000 mark.
Wow.
So that's just, this is the elephant in the room that nobody knows how to talk to. All they know how to say, hey, take a pill, go get hypnotized, pray, put on a patch. Right. Have you ever done the patch?
No.
Have you ever chewed nicotine gum?
No.
People, when they chew nicotine gum, notice they have a very upset stomach. They're getting a lot of acid reflux. When a person wears a patch, and I know people out there who are listening to this have, you take off the patch, you notice it feels like you're bruised. It's kind of blistery. It's sore. And the reason why nicotine gum gives you an upset stomach, the reason why you wear the patch, they tell you not to put on the same spot, is because you're wearing a patch and you're chewing insecticide.
Wow.
Period. I mean, that's all there is to it. It's also, if you were to take in one hit the amount of nicotine you put in your body in 24 hours, in other words, you smoke a pack a day, so you take about 200 hits a day, just so you know.
Right.
If you took a 200-dose hit in one hit, you'd be dead before you hit the ground.
Yeah.
It's...
No, and it's cumulative, too. You know, I mean, you feel that it's getting worse, not better. You know.
There's a reason.
Yeah.
So you read Albert Ellis's book, and then what happened after that?
I took the negative and I made it a positive. I was so convinced I didn't want to smoke. I was so convinced I had to stop. And all I could do was think about cigarettes. All I did was begin to use the urge to smoke as a vehicle to get free. Now, what also happened about 3 years after I was off cigarettes, one of those friends who I was talking about when I went to that Star Wars movie came up to me and said, "Hey, Rocky, what the hell did you do?" So I showed him what I did, and I've developed a program over the years, which is to show people as a personal trainer how to get the hell off these things. My clients have ranged Oscar, Grammy, Emmy winners. I was the Stop Smoking Guy to Hollywood back in the 90s.
Really?
Then I got married and moved to Wisconsin for 7 years,
which was
the best thing and the worst thing I might have done for my career, but it was the best thing I did for my family.
Yeah.
I got some doctors to believe in me. I was getting their patients smoke-free. I was buzzed around in Hollywood. I'm the best-kept secret in this town.
Yeah, huh? Wow. So let's make sure you're not a secret anymore.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Okay. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Rocky Rosen, known as the Cigarette Whisperer, and he can get anybody to quit smoking in 2-3 days, you said? So
only
But it has to be people that... want to
have
quit,
a desire,
right?
To
yeah, because if you don't, you can't make somebody do something if they don't want to.
Right.
I don't take everybody who comes to me. Mm. I have two questions that I'll ask a person to see whether or not I might be a good fit. And I'll ask you these questions.
Right.
Sam, if you were going to quit smoking, who would you be doing it for?
It would have to be for myself.
Okay. Because if somebody tells me they're doing it for their family, they're doing it for their whatever, other than themselves, I will tell them right then, it is great meeting you. I probably won't be the best fit for you.
Right. Because it doesn't work, right?
No. Because if a person doesn't want to, it's like telling somebody who's an alcoholic or a drug addict, you know, if you don't stop, I'm going to leave you.
Right. It's like it's not going to make any difference.
Let's ask you this question, too. Uh-huh. In your life, who or what comes first?
Who comes first?
Who or what is the most important to you in the world?
Oh. Well, I don't know. It's like I'm almost trying to think of the right answer, but I think it's like me, right?
No.
No?
No.
I don't know. Who?
Cigarettes. When you want a cigarette, there is no wife, there is no husband, there is no child, there is no God that's going to be more important to you than having that freaking cigarette when you want it. You never gave cigarettes permission to be the most important thing in the world to you.
Yeah.
I always say, God protect the person who tries to get between a smoker and their cigarettes. Ever have somebody who cares about you hide your cigarettes from you?
Right.
Has that ever happened in your life?
No, not to me. But I got to tell you that, I mean, we're talking about this. My mom's 70-something. She mm-hmm. just picked up cigarettes again when they moved here. After she quit for several years,
mm-hmm.
she just went to the hospital a couple times and for not being able to breathe. In fact, we had to get an ambulance for her a couple times because she woke up not being able to breathe.
I'm sorry.
They put a stent in her heart. Everything, right? She's back to a pack a day. You know? So I know what you mean. I mean, that's what it comes down to, is that it's really the most important thing to you.
That's right. And my job is to help you break free from that.
Yeah.
And
wow.
to really see cigarettes for they are. You see, when somebody calls me, that's because they hate themselves for smoking, but they love their cigarettes.
Yeah.
And what I do is I flip that. I teach you how to get really comfortable with your urges and how to really come to hate cigarettes.
Wow. Yeah. Well, obviously, for those of you smoking, I mean, you got my attention, definitely. But the most important thing is you got me thinking about it. You know, and it's something that we try not to think about because we know it's a bad thing to do for us, for everybody else, you know. And the thing is that, and another thing is, it's funny because I had quit a couple times in my life for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I had to replace it with something, and somehow I thought, you know, if I start working out and stuff, smoking and working out are not compatible, you know. If you're viewing yourself as a healthy person, you're not going to pick up a cigarette. And it worked for me for many years. But I went back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And but now, the funny thing is, while I quit before, everybody in the family was smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Today, nobody's smoking anymore except me.
And your mom.
And my mom.
And that's not true. I mean, that is true, but everybody thinks nobody's smoking. And the truth is, I just worked with a client, this woman, four kids, a husband. She's a top executive in an investment firm, smokes a pack a day, and she think and the family doesn't know, and nobody knows it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. She just, you know, and I, you know, I would tell her, I would look her straight in the eye and go, you know what? I bet when you're down to a half gallon of milk, you'll go, I got to run out and get some milk, and you tell your family to run into the market. And the reason why you're running the market is so you can go have a cigarette.
Right.
You go to a movie, you hate the movie, you're sitting with a friend, you go, I'll be right back, I got to go use the bathroom, which is code for I got to go outside, have a cigarette.
How does she cover it, though? The smell, the teeth, everything.
Washing. How much time do you spend, Sam, how much time do you spend trying to get rid of the smell of smoke on
well,
you?
Well, actually, I don't.
Okay, but
I don't spend a lot of time, but I do wash myself several times a day, like my face, my hands. But it's not so much that I'm concerned with how I smell, because I haven't gotten that many complaints. I know a lot of people don't say anything, but it also occurred to me, you know, that every time I'm with my kids and stuff, when we get out of the car, I always pick up a cigarette. Every time we're not in the car, I get a cigarette. And I thought to myself, they don't know what I smell like without cigarettes.
That's right. Well, you don't, and you hardly know your life without that smell, too.
Yeah.
But it's so much more than just the smell. And to answer your question, she washes, she colognes, she perfumes, she brushes her teeth a lot. She always has a toothbrush and toothpaste in her purse.
Yeah.
And whenever the kids would go, Mom, you smell like smoke, her answer is, I was hanging out with Sam. He was smoking a cigarette.
Right. And you see, and that's the thing, though, is that in this case, she felt that she, I think it's when you try to hide it, that you wash yourself all the time and put the cologne on.
Right.
To me, it's like I'm not trying to hide it, but I do remember that when I used to hide smoking pot back in the 70s, I would do the same thing. You know, to get rid of the smell, you do anything.
Yeah, but us, you smoke a cigarette, that would do it, too.
Yeah.
You know what I think is interesting, though, about what you said? Like, not about hiding it, but about imposing smoke on other people. Like, the woman that hides it, she, I feel like, at least is not taking time away from other people. People that smoke tend to, hold on, like, we just got out of the car, I need a cigarette. We can't go in the restaurant yet. Hold on, we can't go in the car because I need a cigarette before we go in the car because you won't let me smoke in your car.
That's right.
I had an old boss that, if you're listening, hi, he smoked all the time. And there was a lot of, like, hurry up to wait, got to smoke a cigarette.
Right.
Stop, got to go get a cigarette at 7-Eleven. Like, there was a lot of extra steps to do normal things that was, like, inhibiting to other people that were with that person.
Sam, right. I don't normally talk about this until my day three with my clients, but if you're going to smoke a pack a day, that means you're going to devote over 2 hours a day to smoking.
Mm.
Each cigarette takes about 7 minutes.
Right. Times 20.
140 minutes.
140 minutes.
You spend 2.75 hours of your day devoted to smoking.
Wow.
That's 10% of your life.
Yeah.
Interesting. And Sam stays up very late because he doesn't have enough time in a day.
Well, but I smoke during the day, you know, I do everything. So,
of course.
Yeah. That's why I sit outside a lot with my computer, so I don't have to go outside all the time.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, all this stuff is like, you know, all this behavior is definitely an addict's behavior, you know? I mean, you think about it all the time, you know, all these things. So in the last few minutes we have, tell people how you can help them. And, I mean, don't go into the details because obviously that's why people come to you. But what can people expect when they come to you?
It's a 4-day program. My two favorite days are day one and day four. Day one going, okay, I'll trust you, but I know it's never going to work for me. Day four, I can't believe I have 24 hours off cigarettes.
Wow.
While I have my cigarettes with me, mm-hmm. while I know I want to smoke and while I know I can smoke. People can expect from me information, humor, compassion. I've been there. Let's get really, but really what they can do is come to really expect the benefits of being smoke-free. And let me tell you how valuable these benefits are. Sam, give me three reasons why you think you might want to get off cigarettes. Three things that you think stopping smoking would benefit you.
Right, and you're right. I mean, one of them, I think, is dating.
Dating, finding the right person. Go on, give me two more. Better health?
Better health, obviously.
More time.
I don't know about the time, but maybe less guilt about it. I feel like, you know, that I'm like sort of like stuck in the old days,
Sam,
where nobody smokes anymore except me.
I've got three blank checks in my pocket. One is from Bill Gates, one is from Warren Buffett, and one is from Larry Ellison.
Mm-hmm.
They all say Sam Hassan.
Right.
Okay. I will give you all the money in the world you ask for. Please give me your good health. How much money do you want? I'll give you all the money in the world you ask for. You're always going to feel guilty and ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you all the money in the world you ask for. You're just not in control of your life.
Mm.
How much money you want?
Right.
You'll do what I tell you to do, when I tell you to do, what I tell you to do, whether you want to do it or not.
Right.
You're not going to take money for these things, are you?
Right.
But you give them away every time you smoke.
Mm.
Actually, don't give them away. You pay to have them ripped out of you.
Yeah.
How much are cigarettes these days?
A lot of money.
What's your brand?
Yeah. Parliament.
Okay.
But it's about $6.50 a pack.
Yeah. And in New York, it's about $13, $14, $15
right.
a
Which
pack.
Which is like unbelievable.
Well, that's Mayor Bloomberg's doing.
Right.
You know, I always say Mayor Bloomberg is the greatest example of an angry ex-smoker.
Right.
If I'm not going to smoke, nobody in my city's going to smoke.
Yeah.
And that's what he was. That's what he is. He was just, it doesn't work telling people don't smoke. I have a joke. Why do smokers cross the road?
To get to 7-Eleven.
It's because people who don't smoke tell them not to. The more somebody tells you don't smoke, what does it make you want to do?
Right, smoke more.
The more you tell yourself don't smoke, what does it make you want to do?
Smoke more.
So I get rid of that BS.
Wow.
I get rid of that confusion and all the conflict. I make it very simple. And it comes down to pretty much my whole program comes down to four words. One puff, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
But to get there, I've got to go through a whole bunch of stuff. And there are a couple of ways people can work with me now.
Yeah.
So
amazing. If you guys are interested, I'm very interested.
I'm here for you.
And contact Rocky Rosen. The website is rockyrosen.com or thecigarettewhisperer.com.
Can I talk about thecigarettewhisperer.com for one
please.
Second? I have been teaching people how to get smoke-free since 1991. I have always had this dream of putting it where it was accessible to anybody at any time.
Mm.
I happened to work with a young guy who was very well known in the tech industry, and his best friend and I are now partners on this. He's very busy with what he's doing. We've built the Cigarette Whisper. It's my entire program online. Everything I would do one-on-one is right there, and it is a ridiculously low price. Mm. If you live in Kentucky where a pack of marbles costs about $4.90, it would take 11 days to pay off what you'd spend in 11 days. If you live in New York, it's 3.5 days.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, that makes sense.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. Now, my question is it as effective when it's not with you? I mean, you have, like, videos and stuff, right?
I've worked with people throughout the country by the phone. You do not have to be in the same room with me to make this work. But it was really interesting. A couple months ago, I was talking to one person in Florida at 4 p.m. I was talking to a person in Hawaii at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
This is the entire technique that I teach online. And I promise, I don't care how, quote-unquote, big or not big I get, I really am there for you. If you wish you didn't smoke,
right,
I'm accessible to you.
Right. And I think as soon as I make that decision, I'm going to come to you.
I think I'll be there for
you. And the sooner the better, you know. Because, you know, when I think about it, I think, you know, when you think about the act itself, how gross it is. I mean, it's like, to me, it's like, how can my body even survive this?
Well, that's what the epidemiologists at the Center of Disease Control think about this. You know, you talk about over 4,000 compounds in a single puff off a cigarette.
Wow.
And it isn't about ingredients. It's about what happens when you combust tobacco and what it breaks down into.
Right.
And the epidemiologists look at this and go, how does somebody does not immediately get cancer when they take a single puff?
And, I mean, even if it didn't have any of these things, just to put smoke in your body, you know, that something so delicate and everything, it's like, you know, we only have a couple of minutes left, but I thought I would bring this up. I remember when I was a substitute teacher, I would be in different schools and stuff. And in one of them, there was a poster of a model, and she was full of tar. Ugh. All over her. And they're saying this is how it would look if it went on the outside.
Exactly.
What, you know? Because, like, when someone eats a lot, you can tell. You know, if someone takes, like, serious drugs, you can tell. But with smoking, it's like all the damage is inside.
Sam, take a drag off a cigarette, put a Kleenex over your mouth, and blow the smoke out. Okay. And you'll see that the Kleenex has turned brown.
Right.
Off of one puff.
Right.
You know,
I mean, you can just look at the filter of the cigarette.
It's, exactly.
Yeah. You know,
and you look at, you know, you see the lines on a smoker's face and the way they're withering on the outside. I mean, smoking affects... By the way, smoking does not cause all death and disease. Mm. Smoking only promotes any disease the body is susceptible to.
I see.
But if they're withering on the outside, they're also withering on the inside.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Rocky, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, what a great opportunity. Well, I really
wealth of information. It. And I think the best thing would be if I came to you, you help me, and then I talk about it here, and I tell everybody, hey, it's possible.
How about I help you and your mother at the same time?
Yeah,
I'm
sounds
not,
good.
I'm looking you dead in the eye.
Right.
How about I work with you and your mom at the same time? You, whether you talk about me or not, if you guys wish you didn't smoke, let me be there for you.
Yeah. Sounds great, man. Obviously, you care.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. Jen,
absolutely.
Nice to meet you.
Nice
Sam,
to meet
you. Sam, nice to meet
you. So everybody check it out again, Rocky Rosen, R-O-S-E-N, .com, and then thecigarettewhisperer.com. Just about guaranteed to quit smoking. So, I mean, I'm sold on this. Rocky knows what he's talking about. And that's it. Jen, thank
great.
You. Thank you for being there, although it's not a relevant thing to you.
No, but it's interesting.
But it's interesting
I
stuff.
Hope people are listening.
Absolutely. And everybody, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.